Zayin Adar Aleph, Tuesday the 12th of February, Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Guten Tag, Abends on Shabbos.
Good morning everyone, and shkoyach to Torah Way for hosting me this morning, opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. About 3.5 years ago, as a family, we moved back from Eretz Yisrael. And a friend of mine came to me on a Sunday morning and said he'd been invited out for Shabbos. Been invited out to some friends. And they were talking at their Shabbos meal with great pride about the new oven that they'd just bought. And how, with this brand new oven, the Shabbos mode, you could heat up your kugel in the oven on Shabbos morning. And one could take the kugel and put it in the oven at 9 o'clock Shabbos morning, and there it would be ready and hot for you for your Shabbos meal. And he said to me, that's got to be a mistake. Who's given the heksha to this? So what's the answer? The very first point here is that this was indeed a mistake. And if we can use this morning just for a very quick, high-level chazara on how we use cooking equipment on a Shabbos, then it's all been worthwhile. Actually, no one really gave a heksher to a lot of the ovens that we buy here in England. And believe it or not, it's totally the manufacturer's own dream and working out what we want as a kehila that has made them design something called the Shabbos mode. But to think that they've built something which gets it right for us, that we're able to put a kugel in there on Shabbos morning, is a tremendous mistake. But let's run through what it is within Hilchas Shabbos, a quick chazara of the highlights of Bishul on Shabbos, and how we use an oven or a stove on Shabbos. So the very first thing is that there's Hilchos Bishul itself, which mean that cooking, heating up something from cold to hot, is potentially an Issur D'Oraisa. We're talking about an uncooked, raw, solid item, a cold, previously cooked, liquid. Heating up those items will be Melechas Bishul. We're familiar though with the fact that if it's a dry, fully cooked item, it was cooked before Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, and to reheat it is not a problem. So we're used to putting maybe our challah on top of the pots to give it something, you know, to defrost or to warm it up. Even taking a kugel and putting it on top of the pots on a Shabbos morning would also be okay. Not, however, directly on a blech. And similarly, as we're going to see, not directly into an oven. But Bishul, at that level of Bishul, you won't have transgressed. Bishul, you won't have been over on. Why? Because it was fully cooked before Shabbos. It's a solid. People ask, can I reheat my chicken for Shabbos morning?
Yeah.
And with the chicken, we potentially do get into problems. Why? Because the chicken will be accompanied by, besides for the solid, there'll be actually some liquid. So the liquid is potentially going to be bishul, achar bishul, because it's a dovar lach. However, actually chicken gravy starts off as solid before you heat it up. Soup is definitely bishul, achar bishul, with a dovar lach. Reheating a soup for Shabbos morning would definitely be bishul. Reheating a chicken gravy wouldn't be bishul, but it would be a problem of moilid, because you're melting it. If there's a significant amount of gravy heating up, your chicken with a significant amount of gravy would be a problem because of moilid. So we've got three things. We've got fully dry, fully cooked, solid, no problem of bishul, no problem of moilid at all. A, liquid soup would be a problem of bishul. Achar bishul with a liquid. And moving on to that middle category, something with significant roitev, something which with time would heat up, would not be bishul would not be Bishul because it started off as a solid. That gravy started off as a solid and wouldn't be subject to Bishul. But as it heats and as it melts, that would be a moled. So we'd ensure that if you are heating up chicken on Shabbos morning, that there isn't significant amounts of liquid around. What's the way to do that? Always best Friday night after the meal, take out the pieces of chicken from the liquid gravy. Scraping off solid gravy on Shabbos morning would be boring. So, if you do want to reheat the chicken for Shabbos morning dry, it's possible, either before Shabbos, take out the pulka and the whatever it is that you're heating up from its gravy, or even on Friday night, as long as it's still liquid, put it aside in a dish, and you can heat it up in a location where one would be allowed to heat up. But let's come to that. So that's just been Bishul, what items can be heated on Shabbos. We move on Shabbos morning itself, to a question called Chazara. Can we return something to a place where it had been heating before Shabbos? Even better, can we heat up something which wasn't heating up at all as Shabbos came in? That's our Kugel scenario, our Shabbos morning Kugel scenario. Can we put it in a location where it's going to get heated? What's wrong? No Bishul. What could be wrong with that? Shabbos itself, Shabbos morning itself. Can you heat up an item which is fully cooked and dry and no Bishul? What could be wrong with that? So we're familiar with the fact that the instruction is to just put it on top of an upturn of a full pot. The simplest way of heating up an item of food, a dry, fully cooked item of food on a Shabbos morning, is to put it on top of your chalent pot, put it on top of your Shabbos kettle, and over there it would be mutter to heat it up. Why can't it be put directly on the stove? So, on the blech. So here Chazal said that you're going to come potentially to stoke the fire. What we have is an issa called chazara. Even food which has been there from before Shabbos, even your chicken soup which has been there since Friday night came in, your chalim which has been there since Friday night came in, is also susceptible to mechsholim. Even there you've got to be careful with what you do. Remembering, we have three tanaim, we have three clauses for what you're allowed to do with your pot which is already heating from before Shabbos. You're allowed to remove it from the stove and put it back if you've done the following. The fire has to be covered, it has to be a grufa oktuma, the fire needs to have a blech in place. You have to have intention when you're taking it off to be returning it back to that fire, and if you want to return it, you still have to be holding on to it. So the laws of Chazara say that even something which has been heating up from before Shabbos isn't so simple to just put it back. The guests turn up shortly after you've served the challan already, and they say, no, we don't want it now, we want it a bit later on. We want the challan a bit later on. What do we tell them? Fine, no problem. Sure you can have it a bit later on. But you're going to have it cold because I've taken it off already. Chazara says that although it was heated from before Shabbos and it might still be hot, it can only go back if the fire is covered, I'm holding on to the pot, and I had intention to return it. Let's think about the scenario where it wasn't at all, where it hasn't been on the stove at all over the course of Shabbos. If already where it was on the stove when Shabbos came in, you need to ensure that you've covered these three clauses. Of course, if it wasn't there from before Shabbos, you can't put it on at all. So simply speaking, nothing can go back onto your stovetop, onto your covered gas stove. Grufa Oktume, it has a blech in place, nothing can go back on there at all. Nothing could go on there, initially, at all. on Shabbos. Why, by the way? There's no Bishul. What could be wrong with returning something? What could be wrong with returning something when it was there already before Shabbos? There's actually two possible reasons we find in the Rishonim for the issa of returning the food to the stove on Shabbos. One of them is Shema Yechate. You might get nervous that it's not going quite to plan and end up getting involved and intervening with the fire stoking. And the other is that it looks like Bishul. Other Rishonim say this looks too close to an act of Bishul on Shabbos. But regardless of the reason at this stage, returning something to the fire on Shabbos morning is osa unless you've covered your three clauses of the blech being in place, of having intention to return it and actually holding on. And certainly putting something in place on Shabbos morning is definitely not allowed. It wasn't there before Shabbos at all. The discussion of Chazorah is something which was there. You're totally, totally forbidden to put something in place which wasn't there in the first place. So how is it that we are used to the fact that you can take a dry kugel and put it on Shabbos morning to heat up? Where does that fit into the picture? What's the heter for that? Chazorah. We've just said you can't put something to heat which wasn't heating before Shabbos. The reason is, and the background to that heter is, that if something is so far removed from the way one would normally go about cooking, then Chazal were not worried. Chazal saw you've done something counterintuitive. If you really wanted to cook, you would put it directly on that stovetop. But look what you've done. You've put it on the pot of chalent which is cooking over there. You've made yourself a heker, you've made yourself something which will serve to remind you that it's Shabbos, and there they were not choshesh that you would end up stoking. So the only way to heat up something on a Shabbos morning without being nichshal in Hilchos Shabbos is, obviously there's twofold. We have to tick the boxes of Bishul, first of all, and ensure that it's dry and fully cooked. But then we have to have a strong heker in place. And the heker which Shulchan Aruch talks about is where the stove itself had a blech. And, sorry, let's get this right, where you're putting it on top of a pot which is cooking on the stove. Who, if they really wanted to cook something and really wanted to do something successful and productive, who would put it over there? You know why you've put it over there? Because it's Shabbos, the heker is in place. Actually, let's move on from there, because the Shulchan Aruch talked about a full pot of food on the fire, and we're familiar with something which is a little bit further. Even if I don't have a pot sitting on the fire with the chalent in place, and sometimes, by the way, putting it on top of the chalent pot isn't so easy. You know, it slides off and it's gonna fall. So what ends up being way easier is to have in place an upturned kedera on the eish. So many people go ahead and on Shabbos morning put in place a baking dish, an upturned pot, and on top of that goes the challah, on top of that goes the kugel. And that is, interestingly, a heter that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, which is a stretch beyond what we find in Shulchan Aruch. And other Paskim argued. But it's, I would say, relatively common practice to be makel. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasai is very much a standard textbook for Hilchos Shabbos, and what he gives as a heter generally has made it into people's houses. So an upturned kedera, even if it's empty, is also considered to be a heker, is also considered to be a signal that, why are you doing this counterintuitive manner of heating up your food for Shabbos? Clearly you're going to remember that it's Shabbos and you won't come to stoke the fire. So the upturned pot, adds Rav Shlomo Zalman, of course, the upturned pot is on a blech, is on a fire which is considered to have a blech in place. So the double-barreled blech in place plus plus the upturned pot equals the Shulchan Aruch's case of a full pot, but definitely a stretch.
And a piece of heavy silver foil
No, no, no. But what we would need, what we need to see in order to replicate the case of the Shulchan Aruch is a blech plus a pot. A pot has a thickness to it. A pot has a depth. And you're talking about something which is a few microns thick. Okay. Typically, you need to be raised significantly above the...
Take a silver tray, turn upside down.
That's generally accepted that yes.
An imitation silver tray.
Yes, yeah, that's generally accepted that yes. Okay. You would still need all of those points. The hot plate itself is considered a covered fire. So say most poskim that a hot plate is considered to be a covered fire, and it has a blech for where a blech is needed. But a blech is needed to return something to this situation in which it was cooking. Where it was cooking already, a blech is sufficient that I can put it back. But it's not enough, a blech by itself is not enough to put something there to cook from fresh, to heat up, from fresh. So with a hot plate, we treat it as a blech, one then needs to add a kedera reikonis, an upturned pot, in order to say, wow, this is too far removed, this is counterintuitive, this is a tremendous heker that he does not mean to be cooking, and in that situation we allow you to take a cold, solid, fully cooked item and heat it up on the Shabbos because there's no bishul. And in terms of the chazara, the shema yechate aspect, you've done something which shows that you don't intend to really cook. But again, it does need both, according to most poskim. I want to just explain why. The background to this heta is the Rashba, who takes the attitude that and is mechadesh. That in a situation which is totally not the normal way to be cooking, which is totally the way one would have to scratch one's head that way during the week, to think of cooking in that way, in that situation he allows the bishul. It has to be very far removed from it. As soon as you're on a regular blech, there is some aspect of, hey, maybe, you know, I actually know a particular person, family, who cook their salmon as a matter of course on their hot plate. Salmon goes on the hot plate for like quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, and comes out just right. So that is a place which one never cooks. That's a place that you can say that you can put the food down on there directly on Shabbos morning and say, wow, I've made a shinui, wow, I've made a heker, Shema Yechata doesn't apply to me. That's a big, big stretch to apply it. Add the Kedera Reikonis to that, then, said Rav Shlomo Zalman, that makes sense. But to put it directly on the hot plate is definitely a stretch beyond. When we came and when our community was presented with ovens by manufacturers who said this has a Shabbos mode, the manufacturers presented us with a Shabbos mode oven, did they intend to resolve the issues of Shema Yechate? Did they build it in a way that is counterintuitive and we would never think of cooking in this thing during the week? One second. Just before Shabbos, I baked the kugel to perfection inside there. The challahs came out just right. It's exceedingly difficult to imagine that any heta for an oven working in its normal way to be subject to this heta of kedera reikonis. So it really turns out to be a simple mistake that people have made to read the word Shabbos mode and think that it has any effect on Hilchos Bishul. There are for sale in Eretz Yisrael ovens which have received a heksha which allow dry food to be warmed up in there on Shabbos. They call it plata mode. They call it Shabbos platter mode, hot plate mode. And I believe that what's in place over there is that only the bottom element is actually working. And it works, I want to be corrected on this if I'm wrong, it works on the basis that they actually use a special heating element for this, a low-powered heating element. So
it's a plate warming oven, and it's part of the main mealy oven. And this is the oven your friend was probably talking about. He wasn't talking about the main oven. He was talking about the plate warming oven.
The warming drawer at the bottom. No. The situation I checked up that time, the situation was they were using the regular oven cavity.
Why should he think that the regular oven he could use?
A mistake. Very simply a mistake. Very simple.
What was his basis?
The manufacturer called it Shabbos mode. For other reasons.
Sure.
From their point of view, Shabbos mode means the light doesn't come on.
Closing.
The fan, exactly, the opening and closing aspect. Don't let's move on from there to assume that there are any ramifications for the laws of Bishul. Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, when you said the manufacturer Shabbos mode, what actually were they doing to make it into a Shabbos mode? What were they changing?
Okay. What they have changed in Shabbos mode, simply, is one thing and one thing only. Does the door switch do something significant when you open it, and does it do something significant when you close it?
Like the fridge.
In other words, they took a look at the oven and what it does regularly when the door opens and says, whoa, that doesn't work for the Jewish community on Shabbos. Let's take that out and call it Shabbos mode. The light won't come on. The fan won't change. The screen won't be affected. The, hopefully, heating element won't be affected. And they've called that Shabbos mode. Actually, and this is an entirely different shiur and discussion, which maybe we can get to one day, there's even within the discussions of opening and closing the door on something which does have a Shabbos mode, and the Shabbos mode surely should tick all the boxes for all the concerns we have relating to opening and closing the door, what we found is that they fall short. They've fallen significantly short on that also. Unbelievably, two of the biggest manufacturers, two of the biggest ones, have fallen for their safety device, which turns off the heating element when the door opens, being in place still in a Shabbos mode. So just imagine that anything cosmetic, and anything obviously Mechalel Shabbos, they've eradicated. However, when you open the door, something you won't notice, the heating element turns off immediately. And when you close the door, the heating element turns back on immediately. So when we got, when we took to pen and paper and started writing to the Kehillah about these issues, at the forefront of my mind at the time had been the issues surrounding shehia, keeping something inside your oven, and have the and chazara, returning something to your oven on Shabbos, and the scene about Tchila, putting something in your oven for the first time on Shabbos. That was my first aspect. But when I got talking to these manufacturers and I asked them, did you have a rabbi involved in the design? Yeah, but we don't remember, we can't find his email address anymore. You know, it was difficult to convince me that anyone had any input. And we actually tested some of their ovens. We tested them to see what's doing with the heating element when the doors opened. And it was blindingly obvious. You watch a power meter clamped onto the wire, and you can see the power flowing through it. And then open the door, and it stops. So they got the door switch working to turn off the heating element as soon as the door opens on the Shabbos. So it's been an amazing exercise working with a few of these manufacturers to remove this aspect from their ovens, whilst keeping their ovens as safe as they want. And there are formulae that we can use to make progress with them. There's ways of working around both their concerns and our halachas. But what their mistake has been is to do it without any input. And that's they're learning from. Unbelievably, we've had a few families who've written off to customer services and said, we've learned that your oven has Shmir Shabbos concerns, and we bought it on the basis of it being Shabbos mode oven, and they've received a full refund. But some of these manufacturers have recognized their mistake and are looking to rectify it and have provided full refunds. But let's go back very quickly to the laws of shehia, chazara. Let's talk about shehia very briefly. Shehia in an oven. Leaving something in an oven. Leaving something on your stove, you need a blech. We all need a blech for any uncooked foods going into Shabbos. If the food is fully cooked, we actually don't need a blech, theoretically, unless we want to return something to the stove, because we said before that returning something to the stove requires a blech to be in place. If all I'm going to be doing with this food on Shabbos is warming it, keeping it warm, and removing it from there and not returning it, I wouldn't need a blech if the food is fully cooked. In the days of Chazal, there was a tanur which a blech wouldn't work for. Grufa uktuma didn't work in a tanur at all. Why? Shainim, it's then Gemara. The tanur was chaymoy rav. It had such a strong heat that there was no way to really have any effect by just removing some coals or covering them over with some ash. And even if your tanur had been cleansed for Shabbos, prepared for Shabbos with grufa uktuma, said the Gemara to the Mishnah, you cannot achieve a heta to keep raw food there. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he writes, one second, our ovens also achieve a decent heat. So maybe you can't leave in there ever raw food from before Shabbos. So we try very hard before Shabbos. We try very hard to ensure that as Shabbos comes in, the food is all mavusha kol tzarakai. That has to be a rule of thumb in your house. Ensure that your food is mavusha, fully cooked, as Shabbos comes in. Actually, b'dieved, if you're stuck for time, shlish bishel, a third cooked, is also good. But the Bir Halacha takes a bit of a strong stance and says, try to fulfill the Rishonim who have it, that it needs to be full cooked, fully cooked. What happens if you don't? What happens if the food is less than the third cooked? You got the chicken in there 10 minutes before Shabbos. So here we have a problem called Shehiyah. Leaving a food cooking, which is raw at the moment, or almost raw, leaving it cooking in the oven as Shabbos comes in, we require a blech to be in place. Do you have a blech in an oven? So the Gemara says a blech doesn't work in an oven because chaymo rav. The oven's heat is so strong. Reb Moshe actually wrote that a blech does work in our ovens nowadays. Those ovens in those days were particularly strong, and putting a blech in place or just shoveling out some coals would be something you would do if you didn't want your food to burn. That wouldn't show that you're not interested in cooking, says Reb Moshe. Nowadays, turning off the fire would actually remove all heat totally from the oven, eventually with time. So Rosh writes that our ovens, a blech does work. So you do come across people who have a metal casing inside, built inside their ovens, so that their oven can function as an oven which is garuf v'katum, which has a blech in place. But once again, does a Shabbos mode count for garuf v'katum? Does the fact that there's a Shabbos mode in place there allow us to keep raw food cooking as Shabbos enters in our oven? And here the answer is an emphatic no. Once again, the oven is functioning just as it does during the week. It might be limited in its temperature span. Some of them will only go up to 150, and they're getting cleverer, and some of them are prepared to go up to higher temperatures nowadays. But the earlier ones, I think maybe there were even some which were just to 70, 80 or 90. But the fact was that they were running the heating elements just as they were during the week. Just it sort of goes on for a little bit shorter and off for much longer. The cycles, the on-off cycles, are different in this Shabbos mode. But the temperature of the heating element itself would be a full aish, and we cannot view the oven as having received goruf v'kotum treatment, of having blech-like treatment, something to really minimize and diminish the heat. No, there isn't anything in place which allows us for those purposes. So shehiyah, food has to be fully cooked as Shabbos comes in, even if you're running a Shabbos mode. We talk about chazara, returning something to an oven on Shabbos, returning to an oven at all, even if it's not in Shabbos mode. Many poskim said, don't return anything even if it was in the oven before Shabbos. It's tight, the tanur, the oven, has an inside, and if there's an inside, it's not, the clauses of chazara don't allow you to return food. But certainly, and this is, I suppose, what I want the headline of this morning's shiur to be, that is, no cold, raw food to go into there on Shabbos, thinking that it's just like an upturned pot on a hot plate. It is not. This is an oven. L'chol davar v'inyan, and hayom yom shlishi b'Shabbos. I suppose we're a few days closer to Shabbos, and thank you all for listening this morning.
Yeah, not on the election. Come on, the election.